Hey, Cleaning Nation, ever listen to the show and think, if I could just get this guy to help me out, I would save so much time and frustration? Or my life would be awesome if I could just get a few of these systems they're actually talking about actually implemented in my business? Well, if that's you, I've got some spectacular news. I am hosting our first ever live event. We are personally going to walk through the Clean Profit Method with no more than 16 owners and cleaning companies in just 2.5 days. I cannot wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method together. If this is scratching where you itch, stop watching or listening to the show right now and go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details. Like I said, I can't wait to get to know you and your business personally and implement the entire Clean Profit Method. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon. Cleaning Nation, welcome to another episode of the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast. As always, I want to start the show by thanking you for being amazing, spectacular human beings. Thank you for sharing the show. We exist solely and only because and for you people. So keep up the great reviews on iTunes, the Facebook group, all the engagement you guys do. You're amazing. No matter where you're at, everything you need to grow your cleaning company that we do is at growmycleaningcompany.com. I think I just put up a video just for you. It's super fantastic. growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. Today, we are chatting with Travis Grant from Marshall Cleaning Services. Marshall Cleaning Services serves the Knoxville, Tennessee area with residential and commercial cleaning. If you want to reach out to Travis, you can get a hold of him at www.marshallcleaningservice.com. Travis, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you, man. So how did you get into the cleaning business?
Well, I got into a cleaning business for, I started working with a company that is one of the franchises, national franchises, and I actually got into it from as a franchise sales director, and I started doing selling franchises for the organization. And then when I left that position, I kind of started doing consulting work for other carpet cleaning companies to go in and assist them, and here I am.
Okay, cool. And then, so how long have you been in the cleaning business?
8 years.
8 years. Fantastic.
7, 8 years.
All right. And what is going on in your world today that hopefully I can give you some value?
So what's going on in my world today, or the reason why I'm basically, reaching out to you with all your expertise in Cleaning Nation here, is I started working with Marshall Cleaning a few months ago. It is, I don't know how much detail you want me to get into as far as where they're at, but they've been around for only about 3 or 4 years, but they're doing very well, year after year. They're probably growing, I would say, anywhere between 25 and 40%. They have about, 14, 15 employees, struggle with the same things that pretty much a lot of companies do, you know, turnover and all these other things, ways to market, how to get ahead, all these things, squeeze, you know, advertising, shoestring, but all these things, same conditions here. But I was watching some of your YouTube videos and podcasts, and I really identified with how strong you talk about focus when you would say things like, oh, what is our niche or what do we specialize in? And someone says, well, commercial. I get it when you say like, oh, okay, commercial. Okay, that's great. So there's like 800 types of commercial or what have you, right? So so what they're in a very similar spot. So they do commercial. They mainly are focusing on restaurants. They do heavy residential. They have a lot of marketing different campaigns going on, and really that what I'm looking to do, or what I'm seeking some counsel on, that's I haven't been able to figure out, is how do I now take this functioning machine that's around, you know, let's say around $1 million a year gross, and how do I focus that machine into specializing it, for example, commercial carpet or commercial restaurants, commercial restaurants, which we're already in about 45 restaurants accounts monthly. But that's on top of the 500 residential customers we go to, and the occasional janitorial and house cleaning and all these things. And, you know, what I want to do is, this is an operating machine with you know, over a dozen employees. So I don't want to shock the system by saying, okay, let's focus on restaurants, which is where his biggest margins are. That's where it's going to be in our best interest to go. They already have experience doing it. They already got a little bit of references for restaurants they do in the community, all these things. So it's a good play. It's a good area to go, I believe. But I don't want to shock the system and withdraw, you know, a lot of these residential jobs, or at least stop seeking them out. Not saying turn them down, but so I want to be able to hone the focus in without it causing a major disruption to the operations of the system, as far as in a negative way.
Okay, so what I hear you saying is, right now you've just started as a kind of managing partner with or director with a company that is niche free, and you are sold on the concept of a niche and want to know how to install said niche without rocking the boat too much and making everyone miserable. Is that a fair synopsis?
It's perfect.
Okay, cool. So first and foremost, I need a little more understanding on what your position is and what you've been tasked to do, because we get too many cooks in the kitchen. Doesn't matter who's got the best idea. If we've got seven good ideas and we try and do all of them, it's not going to work. So give me a little bit of background on position and what your authority and responsibility is.
Very good. So I have known the founder of the company for several years. I first met him by going to bring him into the franchise that I was a franchise salesperson for. And like with a lot of the prospects that I had in the franchising industry, I flew all over the nation and you met with hundreds of carpet cleaning companies to have them join these franchises. So I developed relationships with several of them, and some of them that didn't join the franchise, they would still call me occasionally for different types of just advice on one thing or the other. So we've had a very, very active relationship. He called me in the beginning of the year as a consultant. I flew over to Knoxville, spent about a week with him, came back a few weeks later, spent another week. He offered me a position as director of business development there. And he has a lot of respect and trust for me. I'm not going to have to battle too many people's opinion, if any. His would be the only one on new ideas. So as far as the authority goes, I'm not going in front of a board and pitching any ideas. If I recommend something needs to be done, it's very likely we'll actually go into executing that idea immediately.
Okay, he'll be behind it, right? So there's a difference between
absolutely.
There's a difference between him saying okay and him saying I support, because, you know, at some point we're going to try and, or not at some point, we're going to do our best to mitigate any sort of heartache, but there's going to be some. So we just want to make sure he's got to be in part and parcel, not kind of halfway or dip or toe in kind of a thing.
So one of the ways that I knew that this was going to be a good match potentially is when I was sitting in front of him and I said, now, you know, if I join your company, there's going to be days that come that you're going to be very upset with me and you're going to disagree with me on a lot of things and vice versa. And he said, I love it. And what we were talking about is the whole purpose of him bringing me in is to do things contrary or in upgraded fashion to the way things have been done. So he won't necessarily only support it. He's very, very open to, if it makes sense, obviously, and there's data, I bring data behind it and I do a lot of research and analyze, make sure it's the best calculated risk possible, then not only is he behind it, supportive of it, but he's on board with it.
Okay. So yeah, first, that's helpful. So the first and foremost kind of concept we want to have is we got to be together. So even if you want to go all, even if let's just assume that picking a niche and the restaurant niche is 100% the right answer, but he's only 80% on board, understand we're only going to get done what he wants to get done. So I'd rather you guys be together on not as good of an answer than separate with, even if you're right. Does that make sense? So we got to be together before we got to be right. Does that make sense?
That's great input. Sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because again, if we're both working on different recipes, it doesn't matter whose recipe is better. It's going to taste like crap if we're both kind of putting our own thing in. So that's the first part. I would try to get buy-in. So you're not pulling and he's pushing or vice versa. I would have him listen to the podcast that got you excited, kind of get him involved. So he's not just being pulled along by your excitement, but he's got that excitement for himself. That would be first and foremost. Second. All right. So I would have loved to talk to you guys a year or so ago back before, you know, if you're doing around a million, this would be a nice change to make it 200,000 or 300,000 in revenue. It's not so painful. At a million, it's, you still got time, but, it'll be a little harder, and you nailed it. I'm not going to go firing residential customers at all. But I am going to put all of my time and effort into getting my niche customers and zero of my time and effort to getting residential customers. So whatever budget we've got for residential, I'm probably going to shut that down. And simultaneously, I'm going to go through the bidding and billing process, which is, I think, step two of the clean profit method, and eliminate all of my unprofitable residential customers by raising prices, right? And if they leave, great. That's kind of the end goal. If not, well, now we're making a bunch more money for doing the same work. Either way, it's a win-win. So is that a good first step that's not going to bring pain, or is there a piece of that that is going to make your life miserable that I need to know about before we go on? Hey, Cleaning Nation, are you enjoying the show? Want to go from listening to doing? If you're committed to making this the year that you kick your company into hypergrowth and actually start implementing all the systems that I coach on this show that will allow you to work on your business instead of in it, go to growmycleaningcompany.com/live to get all the details on our upcoming live event. I'm going to personally walk you and 15 other entrepreneurs through the entire clean profit method in just 2.5 days. growmycleaningcompany.com/live. Check it out now. I'll see you soon.
No, this is already the kind of what I'm thinking. I just, again, you know, I mean, we're servicing an average of 15 residential customers a day. So the margin on them is terribly small, considering that we're not really investing in marketing and in getting the jobs to come in. They're through platforms that charge up front and just pay substantially less to the contractor or to the cleaning company. So there's not really amount being invested for these leads that then come in like in SEO campaigns or something like this. It's more of like a PPC campaign format. Well, not even that. That's the investments up front. This is the investments only paid per customer. So the customer,
I get it. Someone else is acquiring the customer and keeping all the margin. You guys have to do all the work for none of the money. So that's easy.
Right.
If you're not making any money on it, it's very easy to get out of that business, right? If it's profitable, it's painful. If you're not making any money, it's easy. So how confident are you in your...
My only concern I was getting at was the techs. If we start to pull these, then, you know, we have some veteran technicians that only get paid for being called out to jobs. So I'm trying to be very mindful on the employee hours also. So I know we're talking about a few different things, and sometimes you can't avoid some problems that are going to come up, but...
Yeah, hold on.
I'm thinking about weaning off it.
Yeah, we'll get to the employees, but just philosophically, you got to remember, the employees are there to help the business make money. The business isn't there to help the employees make money. So we certainly don't want to lose employees if we don't have to, but at the cost of not making money, that's because trust me, if you guys aren't making any money, then you know.
Everyone's out of a job.
Everyone's
no,
out,
I get
right?
it.
So yeah, we're not going to carelessly just be like, "Hey, hit the road, Jack." But if an unintended consequence of becoming profitable is losing some good employees, we don't love that, but we love it more than being not profitable. So first and foremost, how confident are you in your accounting? And let me be specific about that. We need cost of goods sold and gross margin by, if not account, certainly by residential versus commercial. So I know, because if you're not making money, it's so easy, right? And again, when I say making money, you've got to make sure the overhead is accounted for. So let's say I'm a $10,000 a month company, and this company is $1,000 of revenue. Well, they're 10% of my revenue. So they need to be attributed with 10% of my overhead. So if my overhead is $3,000 a month, $300 a month of overhead would be, I'm going through this very quickly, would be attributed to them. So do you have that kind of data available
sure.
in your company?
So I have a good deal of it. It's not drilled down to the level that I'm sure we would both would like, but I have some very, very close, good estimate figures. Like I have pretty good math. I've been going through it now for a month, the accounting.
Okay, so step one is to get away from estimates and get dollar figures. Step two is if you're Clean Profit Method member, go through, again, step two, which is the bidding and billing, where we put everyone into red, yellow, green. Red means you're literally paying them for the privilege of doing work. We fire them immediately or raise prices on them immediately, and if they quit, they quit. Yellow means they are profitable, but they're sub optimal profitable, meaning they're not good. And then green means they're exactly who we're supposed to be and we leave them alone. I have a feeling if you just raise prices and move everybody from red to green or out, right? that's an easy one because literally you stop writing them a check for the privilege of cleaning for them. That's not painful. That will free up a lot of time and money. And then when you move the yellow to green, that'll do the same thing. And you'll have an idea of what you've got because you don't want to, we're not, sometimes you're selling $20 bills for $20. That's not business. That's just changing money. Right. So one,
I'm with you. So there's some methods that we use where we're collecting. I'll grab one job and I'll just, for example, a job that we may collect $60 from because it's priced so low. I already know that the average cost of labor on a job like this is around $37.30. So let's just call it $37 for us to collect $60, and then we throw in materials and cost of equipment and stuff like this for the job, and it adds on about an average of around $7 more. So it puts us right a little under $45 to collect $60. Now this is what I would consider, I mean maybe even red, but I consider it, which you would say is yellow.
That's a 75% cost of goods sold. I promise you, I'm assuming your overhead is equal to or more than 25% of your revenue. If it is, then yes, you are writing a check to them for the privilege of cleaning, because you can't just assume that the internet, the phone calls, the insurance, the office, your salary, that is real money. You can't just be like, oh, well, that doesn't count. Yes, it does.
Operating costs, yeah.
Yeah, you have those operating costs. And guess what? If you didn't have 20% of your business, you can generally get rid of 20% of your operating costs. So it is costing you money. Please don't be fooled into
it.
So what I hear you saying is your cost of goods sold is about 75%. Healthy in the residential side is anywhere between 40 and 50%, and if I don't want to be in that niche, I'm going to be like 40 to 45%. So if you're at 75%, we just got to raise prices immediately. If they quit, they quit. And what's really happening is, and I'm just making up numbers, but you'll get the concept. You might be a $700,000 company that's doing $1 million in revenue, but that top $300,000 is you just trading money for money, right? Well, you give me $60, and it costs me $60 to perform it.
At the end of the day, the company's pulling in $60,000-$70,000 a month, and its cash flow situation is next to nil.
Yes,
because of these things.
So,
I get it.
So again, we got to get moving because we're heading off, and I want to especially because you've got a unique perspective having sold franchise. I want to get to the lightning round to get some of your feedback. So the short answer is this is a bigger question. It'd be something we'd have to talk about offline and really dig down into the details. But the big picture answer is A, make sure that you've got some clarity in terms of what your goals are for the owner, right? So we don't want to just say niches are better than not niches. We want to say what are our goals for the company in terms of revenue and net profit, right? Specifically, more, but like we want to be 1.5 million by December, January 1st, 2019. Of that 1.5 million, we want a $275,000 profit. Once we've got those, then we can say, okay, what's the best way to get from here to there? Because as an owner, it's hard to just say, hey, capriciously get rid of this large swath of customers. That's hard. But if we can say this is our goal and this is the straightest line to that goal, now all of a sudden, if I say, hey, Travis, let me inject this poison into you, there's a good chance you're going to pass. Now,
sure.
If I happen to be
unless
your
it's a vaccination.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I have to be your oncologist, I'm like, dude, you got the cancer. Now, if you let me, this chemotherapy works 77% of the time, and if you don't take it, you're 92% likely to die. All of a sudden, you're going to pay me, hopefully with a smile, maybe not a smile, but you're certainly going to pay me, if not, allow me and pay me to put this poison into you. So we got to be clear with you have to contextualize with the owner, what is it we're trying to do? Because if he says, I'm happy with the company I have now, I don't really want to grow, life's perfect, we're making good gross sales, we're making good net profit, my life is perfect. The right answer is not a niche, and I'm a big niche fan, but I have a feeling if he hired you, he's not happy, right? He didn't hire you to keep everything the same. He hired you because he wants a different result. So A is contextualize what you're trying to accomplish, overreaching, and then B, pick your niche to get you there quickest. So you're not just randomly picking quote unquote a good niche. You're picking what you feel is the best niche to get you from where you're at now to the very specific goal that he shares with you and the rest of the company, ideally. That's step one. Step two is to be crystal clear on your numbers, right? We don't want, I've got a good guess, because we're not going to, we can't guess like, hey, customer, I'd like to raise your price around 12%. I don't know. Or maybe it's 70, maybe it's 80. I don't know. We can't do that, right? We have to go, sure. Hey, old price is 60. It's now 95. That's that. So step one, contextualize and get on board with each other. Step two, really drill down on those numbers so you have it to the dollar, if not to the penny. Step three is kill the dead weight. And kind of executing that, I need to talk with you a little more to get, work into details. But big picture, that's that. Any questions before we hit the lightning round? I give you a chance to share your genius with the world.
No, I got a good idea. I took in the things that you said and a couple good suggestions. So I'm good as far as any more questions. If I was asked one, sorry. So, I mean, it's common sense. I don't know, but would it probably be, so I've looked at the margins and I get what you're talking about being specific down the penny. So I'm in the process of doing that. So I'm with you. I mean, down to the penny, I need to know how much every job costs to take place and all these things. But off the rough glance though, as we're talking on the phone, I have noticed that his commercial restaurant, looks like, so the margins are dramatically higher. They're consistent cuts. I mean, the whole thing with it goes along with the good commercial contracts. So in restaurants. So that's obviously probably a place that's safer to venture into than obviously just starting a whole new niche, right?
If you're already doing restaurants, sure, but you're already doing a lot of things. So I can't say that's a different question for a different day. We'd have to go into, I can talk to you offline on that, but,
okay.
Yeah. Honestly, that's atypical. Typically residential has more margin than commercial. So the fact that your commercial is better than your residential indicates to me either your commercial is very good, which would be great, and or that your residential is not good, which isn't as good. All right. Let's hit the lightning round. I'm going to ask you three quick questions. You're going to give me three amazing answers. Question number one, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received? This could be personal or professional.
Best piece of advice that I ever received is that, I don't know everything. This is, it's thrown around like a loose phrase, but it's true. Some people get trapped in their own, and I've grown with it. I get trapped in thinking that the way that I feel about something is correct. And sometimes when you do that, it shuts you down to other people's opinions. So,
definitely a great way to stop. Yeah, definitely a great way to stop learning is to decide that you know everything, and also look for
100%. That's
people.
What happened.
All right, cool. Biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business? I know you've kind of been into different degrees, but in the time that you've been in, what's the biggest mistake you've seen so far? So we can all learn from you.
Mistaking gross.
Just biggest mistake for in the cleaning business.
Yeah, biggest mistake is overvaluing just gross alone.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
I would say, if a company's doing $10 million and it's profiting $100,000 of that, then it could be deceptive. Because in my position, someone says, oh, we're doing $2 million a year. That's great. But you're only making $10,000 a year profit.
Right. So, I would rather make $200,000 and make that $10,000 in profit. You're exactly right.
Right.
Perfect.
So it's a mistake if you're not careful.
Yeah, don't trust me. I talk to people all the time that are like, I'm making less money now than I was at half the size, but my stress is quadruple. So very good feedback for those of you out there. Focus on grow. Top line. I want to be $1 million. Great. Be a profitable million. All right. Last question. What's one idea Cleaning Nation could put into practice right away? Something easy to implement. Doesn't have to be big, just easy to implement that will make their personal life or their professional life just a little bit better.
It's morale in the company is something that, I think start treating the employees, like the way we would customers, because the employees are the direct, connection to the customer. And if you have relatively unhappy or just content employees, that will transmit to the customer. So I think that we should treat our employees just as valuable, if not more, than the customers, because number one, the employee comes every day, where the customer you may only see once or twice a year, but the employee reaches all of your customers. So however he feels at the company or she feels at the company will transmit to the customer, I believe. So I think paying attention to our employees and how we value them is is not given as much attention generally from what I've seen than it should.
Couldn't agree more. We talk a lot about on the show $10 an hour work versus $100 an hour work, and people often say fairly, well, what's $100 an hour work or $1,000 an hour work? Building a company culture, building a community that people want to be a part of, that is by far $1,000 an hour work. So you absolutely nailed that on the head. All right, Travis, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your story, your passion, your desire to grow. I appreciate you. I know Cleaning Nation appreciates you. Cleaning Nation, if you want to check out Travis's show notes page and the special video I made just for you, go to growmancleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I'll see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies as well as industry experts can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer Natalie at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.